You're listening to Muse Live, anytime, any place, any show. Featuring the one and only Muse.
Thanks for tuning in to Muse Live. I'm your host, Thomas Hunt. And we're here today to discuss the Falcon Lumina Soldier episodes 4 through 6 and the season finale and what is coming, what is next for the MCU. It's been a long time. The season finale has come and gone. The show ended a couple weeks ago at the time of this recording, and I don't know when it's going to be done editing and when I will finally get this published, but suffice it to say, it will be before Loki, whether or not that's a couple hours before the first episode drops. But I promise to have it out before Loki, which, of course, if you're listening to this and it's out before Loki, then you'll know I kept my word. I think Marvel Disney Plus shows so far are following a similar trope of disappointment. And with WandaVision, they promised to do a lot, and they ended up really doing nothing. And they gave us a bunch of things, like, for example, Pietro Maximoff, his return, which I had been waiting for years. And I was even fine with the fact that it was in a different actor's body, because, you know, I'm just glad to have the character back. And then it was revealed that Marvel just wanted to do a boner joke. Haha, Ralph Boner. Yeah, that's real funny. Did anyone actually think that was funny? Like, just one person. Did any one person laugh at that? I don't think anyone did. I think it was just solid disappointment from everyone. And if you did, no judgment. I would never laugh at it personally, and I really don't understand how anyone could, but there are a lot of different people around the world, and everyone's different. We all find different things funny. I didn't find that funny at all. Anyway, regardless, we're not talking about WandaVision. We're talking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I was really worried, and I talked about this, I think even a little bit in some of my WandaVision podcasts, about how I was worried that Falcon and the Winter Soldier will go down the America's bad, America's racist, it was founded on racist ideals, you know, like white people are bad, that kind of thing. And for the most part, I'm glad to say it didn't fall into that trope, which is what I was very worried about. However, the Isaiah Bradley arc is the thing that made me quit it for a little while. And it's not that it's a bad story. It's the fact that, and it's somewhat based off of a very real thing that happened with the Tuskegee Airmen, which is a tragedy. It's somewhat based off of that in the comics. The way it was executed just made it feel like, instead of the form that it was in the comics and how it really depicted the wrongdoings of the government, it felt cheap almost. It almost felt like it was just another excuse to, you know, it was another excuse to say, hey, look at us, we're politically correct, look at us, we are, we're diverse. It felt forced, and it felt like they wanted, it felt like they wanted, something that would be controversial, something that would, I don't know, make it edgy, I mean, Isaiah Bradley was very anti-Captain America, anti-Steve Rogers, which is the hero that we all know and love, and it felt like they were trying to almost make it seem like Cap was okay with it, or Cap was like a white supremacist. And I'm not just saying these things out of nowhere. People, and I've seen people like this online, people were actually taking that away from the episode. It's insane. Obviously, Cap isn't a white supremacist. Obviously, isn't any of that. And I didn't have many issues with the show overall. That was probably one of my biggest issues. The whole political correctness, look at us, government is bad, aspect of it. And I mean, there were a lot more parts. For example, in the finale, which is what we've been building up to the entire season, you know, Cap takes on the Cap mantle. I'm like, all right, this is cool. They have like the little party down at the neighborhood, and they fix up the boat and everything's awesome. And so it's a nice little scene. And then we get some really strange undertones. And again, this is another thing that I disliked about Falcon and Winter Soldier. They kept trying to paint Carly Morgenthau and her band of terrorists known as the Flag Smashers as this misunderstood Robin Hood. Okay, Robin Hood, and I mean, this show kind of forces you to get into politics, which I do not enjoy, but Carly Morgenthau's ideals are naive, to say the least, and while her character is apparently supposed to be, you know, doing the wrong thing, but for the right reasons, I can't even agree with that. I don't think it's for the right reasons. She's bombing people. She's killing people. It's just flat out terrorism. Even if you do think she is like reasoning that you can agree with, it's just flat out terrorism, and there's no way getting around that. And so Sam insisting, don't call them terrorists, it's censoring what they really are so that they can seem better in the aftermath, because the Flag Smashers are no more. They're all scattered, they're arrested, and it feels like Sam's trying to preserve their legacy of them being misunderstood, them being simply misunderstood. They're terrorists. They've bombed people for political gain. They're the very definition of terrorists. And I don't know if any of you are fans of Screen Rant's pitch meetings with Ryan George. I highly recommend you to go check out that video. It was hilarious, and it did a good job of pointing out the fact, hey, is Carly Morgenthau supposed to be a sympathetic character here? Because she's just a flat out terrorist. It did a wonderful job, and it also kind of jokingly covered the John Walker arc. And if you've listened to my podcast before, which I'm assuming you have, because I don't know why else you'd be listening to 4 through 6 if you hadn't listened to 1 and 2 and whatever. Anyway, if you have, sure, you do whatever you want to do. You listen to my podcast, thanks for listening, you know. But as you know, I am a big fan of I'm a big fan of Wyatt Russell's and Kurt Russell's. Kurt Russell's one of my favorite actors, right up there with Chris Pratt and Keanu Reeves. I haven't seen Wyatt Russell in many things. I do know he's Kurt Russell's son, and I mean, that's not automatically going to get him one of my favorite actor status, but he is working his way up there. So I was excited to see where they were going to take John Walker. And overall, I was a fan of what they did with John Walker. Overall, there were a couple of bits I didn't like. He's been, honestly, he was way more of a sympathetic character than Carly Morgenthau. He was dealing with mental illness and it overtaking him in grief and depression, and a lot of things that a lot of people are facing right now when we're all locked down in home. And I know some people aren't in lockdown, some people are. It's crazy all over the world, but a lot of people are facing a lot of mental illnesses, and it's a lot of things that many people can relate to with John Walker, and a lot of military veterans can relate to John Walker and the struggles that he's been through and is going through. And I'm glad they didn't paint him as a villain, you know. A lot of people were, you know, associating him with Homelander, which is just disrespectful and distasteful, to say it at the least. And again, I don't think John Walker should be Captain America, and I don't think anyone should be Captain America, but at the end, that's what this whole series was about. It was about Sam taking up the Cap mantle, which I was fine with. I was fine with. In an ideal world, I would have them just lay the legacy to rest, which I think would be the honorable thing to do, but they're having him take up the new mantle, and I'm fine with it. My problem with Sam being Cap is his ideals. He, during the series, he expressed several times that he was agreeing with the Flag Smashers. He shared ideals with international terrorists who kill people and bomb people and rob banks, and it's a crime organization. I mean, the first time we see the Flag Smashers, they're robbing a bank. Not exactly people you want Captain America, the symbol of truth and justice, to be agreeing with. That was the first worrying thing. Second off, you see in one of the final moments of the season finale, you see him talking to the I don't remember what his exact title was, but I think he was like a senator or something. He was some sort of government position, and he was talking to him, and the government guy was to ask him, okay, you're saying we need to change things. What do we do? Give us some instruction. You're Captain America. We need you to lead, basically. And Sam said, do better, and then flew away. And again, Screen Rant's pitch meeting with Ryan George did a good job of pointing out the how ridiculous this is. This is what we've been building to for the entire season. Cap is going out and he's on television, and he's talking to the entire world. And instead of presenting an actual solution for doing something or for helping people or a better way to do this, he just says to do better. And that is something that you see a lot coming from a lot of different people's. You see that coming from a lot of different people. They tell you to do better or stop doing this or stop doing that, but they don't give you, they don't have a better idea on how to run things or do things. And then they just run away from their problems, just like Sam was running away from his problems. Was running away from his problems here. Another thing I wasn't a fan of with the series is the way they did Sam. I don't know. The writers on this, I was not a fan of the writer that they chose for this in any way, shape, or form. They completely changed almost all of the characters except Bucky. Bucky was the only one that remained the same. They completely reworked Sam's entire personality so he could fit into the little political correctness bubble. Sam was a true blue patriot. He was proud to be an American. He was a veteran. He was on Cap's team, shared Cap's ideals. I was a big fan of Sam, and then the series came around. They completely changed his ideals, making him for the plot. They completely changed his ideals. They changed what he stands for, and I'm really not a fan of him being the new Cap, because he doesn't have the ideals or the morals that Steve did, and he doesn't have the I don't think he has what it takes to be Captain America. Now, am I saying this just because he's black or whatever? And I know people are going to say this. And no, it's not because he's black, okay? I would have been totally fine. In the Endgame, I was super happy because I was like, awesome. Sam Wilson gets the shield. I was totally happy about it because I loved his character, and then they completely changed him in this series. And obviously, he's not the only one that this happened to. This happened to Baron Zemo. This happened to Sharon Carter. This happened to all of the recurring characters who came back again, except Bucky. Bucky, they kept pretty much the same, but Bucky doesn't really have much of a personality except, you know, regret and guilt for all the things he's had to commit. I actually really enjoyed Bucky in this series. I really enjoyed what they did with him, so good job with Bucky, at least. With Sam Wilson, though, they completely butchered the character, completely rewrote him. They rebooted the character almost, but with the same actor. It's a completely different take on him. And somehow, I haven't really found anybody who noticed. His ideals completely changed, and I know I'm bringing this up again, but it's just such a huge point for me, and no one's talking about it. So, besides let's talk about the other retcons that they did to the other characters. Sharon Carter, spoiler alert, obviously, somehow turned out to be the power broker, which, again, I guess was supposed to be a twist. These Disney Plus shows suck at giving twists. The big twist for WandaVision was supposed to be that Catherine Hahn, or Agnes, was Agatha Harkness, which everyone guessed before they even announced or gave us a trailer or anything for the movie, just from casting. I think the movie was, obviously it had to be announced. Obviously the show had to be announced, but there wasn't really much. It hadn't started filming yet. Before it even started filming, we had pretty much figured out the big twist to WandaVision, and now in this, it was that Sharon Carter, the person who's rich and powerful and has strange connections, is the power broker, rich and powerful person who has strange connections. I was really hoping, and I was steadfast, that it wasn't Sharon Carter, because I was really, really hoping that they would give us some sort of twist or something that would be more rewarding and, I don't know, have actual story, something that wasn't super easy to guess as soon as you met the character. I wanted a good story, and I just don't feel we got that with this series. I wanted something. And a lot of people were upset that not much happened in Falcon the Winter Soldier to the MCU. I wasn't expecting much to happen in the MCU. This is more of, you know, Sam getting adjusted to the role and, you know, completely retconning his ideals and everything and becoming an entirely new person. because all... This was more of a show that was more grounded. It wasn't, it didn't have people promising major cameos and major, the major cameo thing was just from Paul Bettany in WandaVision, but from the studio itself promising that, you know, the finale, its special effects cost more than all of Endgame. I still don't get how that works. How did what exactly in WandaVision cost more? What the visual effects in there cost more than Endgame? Cost more than the final battle scene of Endgame. The final battle scene of Endgame was awesome. It's a cinematic masterpiece. The WandaVision final fight is not in any way, shape, or form. Vision just stands on the ground with all this other superior. Okay. I'm not going to go into it. I get dragged down and down and down into this hole again and again. I'm not going to go into it. But yes, WandaVision has its problems. A lot of them in the finale. And as we come up on Loki, I was a little bit worried that it would fall into this same trope of failed Disney Plus shows that we've been getting from Marvel. I'm hoping that it won't do that because, number one, it has Owen Wilson there, and Owen Wilson is one of my favorite actors, you know. He has a lot of really good stuff, you know. I loved his trailer spot when he was going, like, his voice is really, his voice is really unique. I like to do impressions. It's like, let's see, in the elevator scene in the trailer, he was like, talky, talky. He's such a distinct voice and just a really, really funny actor. I don't know much about him as a person himself, but I really enjoy his work. I was introduced to him through Cars as a little kid, and I didn't really realize that he was the voice actor for that, for the main character in that, until, I don't know, a little while ago. Because I'd seen him in, like, Wes Anderson films. Wes Anderson is my favorite filmmaker. I love Marvel and all of that, but he makes the best movies. don't at me. But, anyway. So I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with Loki. I think it might be able to fall out of the trope of this, because it's not a limited run series. It will almost certainly have a season 2, and it can do a bunch of crazy, crazy, insane stuff, and I'm just super excited for it. So by the time you're listening to this, it might already be out. I'm definitely gonna have this released before Loki comes out, but it may already be out, and maybe you were just in the mood for listening to Falcon and the Soldier, or maybe you watched Loki first and then you watched Falcon and the Soldier. I don't know. But as of right now, Loki is not out, and I am looking forward to it. It is not out yet, though. But getting back to Falcon and the Soldier, I think its biggest problem is that sacrificed character in story and continuity with the characters and their personalities for political correctness and writing a story that is more woke. Hollywood is very liberal. Is very liberal, and I mean, we saw Gina Carano getting fired by Disney from The Mandalorian for a series of tweets that people are calling anti-Semitic. I don't know if anyone's seen the tweets. You can interpret them whatever way you like. The way that I've seen them presented seems to be saying and highlighting the suffering that the Jews had to that the Jews and Jewish people had to go through during the Holocaust. But anyway, so some people at Disney took it as anti-Semitic and got her and Twitter got her canceled, which I'm not even going to go into how much that disgusts me, but whatever. So Gina Carano is no longer to be in The Mandalorian, by the way, as of the time of recording. Hopefully she gets back on and all this ridiculous nonsense is sorted out. Anyway, the biggest problem was that it was trying to be woke and it didn't need to be, and it sacrificed characters and it sacrificed continuity, and I think it sacrificed story and plot. I mean, if you look at it from, you look at the big picture of what the story arc is, it's Sam, Bucky, U.S. Agent, and Battlestar trying to stop the Flag Smashers from doing something that we don't really know what they're going to do, but they're going to do something. It's never specified what they're going to do. Just, you know, get out there and, you know, do it. Do the thing. And, you know, a little while along, John Walker takes the serum and he gets some, and like he gets suddenly, his character abruptly changes and he starts trying to kill Sam and Bucky for no reason. Well, I mean, yes, for a reason. they come by after he just saw his best friend killed and try and steal his shield and then beat him up, break his arm, and leave him lying on the ground. Because they're nice like that, and they know how to pick the perfect timing for. I mean, I know we're looking at the big picture, but like seriously, why would you do that? You know, why would you beat the dude's friend just got murdered, his best friend that he's been through thick and thin with just got murdered in front of him, and he couldn't save him, and he's beating himself up about it, and he just went and killed one of the terrorists that was holding him back from saving his friend, which was completely justified in my opinion, but he did it. And it was sad or something because he pleaded for his life. And again, Screen Rant's pitch meeting did a wonderful job of pointing this out. I just can't give them enough kudos for their pitch meeting on this one. It was 10 out of 10. I agree with almost everything they said in there. Definitely go watch it. Bucky, the people that Bucky and Sam killed would probably have pleaded for their life too if they hadn't killed them so quickly. So... It's really no different from any of the countless times Sam and Bucky have killed people. And I think the only reason it was such a big deal is because it needed to drive a plot point. Anyway, so they chase after the dude who just lost his best friend and is now like grieving and trying to run away from the situation and take a moment to breathe. So Captain America John Walker retreats to a place where an empty warehouse where he can calm down and kind of breathe and start to grieve. And in the midst of his grief and his grieving, Sam and Bucky come by and they decide, and they pretend like they're checking up on him, and John Walker's appreciative, and he's like he's thanking them for coming over and checking up on him, and then Sam is like, all right, now give us the shield, and John Walker's obviously shocked, and he's like, and after a second he gets it, and he's like, you know, for a second I thought you actually cared about me. And I don't know if the writing is just this bad or if I'm like insane or something, but I completely agreed with him at that point. I was like, yeah, why would you do that? If you just waited like maybe a couple hours or a couple days, you don't need to do this right now. There's nothing that's making you do this right now except for the plot. And the plot wants you and John Walker to fight because John Walker's bad now or something. So they start attacking John Walker, and John Walker is now actively trying to murder both of them and chop their heads off because the plot wanted that to happen. And again, I completely blame the writers. I don't know what they were thinking with this. Out of nowhere, his sympathetic character becomes a murderous psychopath who wants to chop the heads, literally tries to chop their heads off. So they break his arm. They steal his shield, and then they walk off. I mean, again, their rightful shield or whatever. They take the shield. They leave him lying on the ground, broken, bleeding, and I think he was passed out, and still grieving for his friend. So it honestly made me kind of uneasy because it feels a lot like bullying. It was very reminiscent of like bullying. And I know he suddenly went off like left field and went berserk and started trying to, you know, chop their heads off because the writers wanted him to. It makes no sense for his character. Anyway, you know, and again, it's a TV show, so I have to accept that the writers are going to do what the writers have to do. They're going to do what they want to do, and we kind of have to go along with it. I don't agree with it, but that's just the show that it is, and nothing I do or say will change it, but I don't like what they did with it. I really don't. And I think it could have been better written. I think they chose the wrong person to write it. If you like listening to my podcast, and you want to start one of your own, well, then I think this ad on our ad break right here will be for you. We'll be right back after these messages. And we are back. So I don't. I understand why the director did it, but they were forcing the writer and the director did it, but they were forcing their own political opinions onto a show and onto a set of characters that didn't match that. And I think that's why I boycotted the show after, I think it was episode 4 came out. Might have been episode 3, I'm not sure. But I boycotted it, and I didn't watch it until weeks later when all the Loki stuff started coming out, and I realized I was going to have to watch them and finish the series for you guys. So my episodes, my podcast after shows for Falcon Winter Soldier just wouldn't stop in the middle, and then I'd just start on Loki. And yes, I am doing Loki, absolutely. Another complaint that I have, and I know I have a lot of complaints, it's not necessarily about the show, it's just the format that Disney Plus has. We get little episodes that are like maybe the length of a YouTube video. We get short little episodes. They're shorter than regular TV show episodes. And we get like maybe 9 minutes of credits each episode. And they're kind of infamous for, Disney Plus is kind of infamous for that now, you know, with, you know, WandaVision, the Please Stand By, and then you sit there for 9 minutes, and then you usually don't get an after credit scene or an end credit scene until, I think it was like the last two episodes when they did give us something. And that seems to be their format as well for, because they did it with Falcon Winter Soldier, too. And then at the end of the series, they change it to Captain America and the Winter Soldier. And this is actually another thing that Screen Rant's pitch meeting for Falcon and the Winter Soldier pointed out. And again, I cannot give them enough props for this. They pointed out almost all of the things I had a problem with. And again, there's some things they said that I disagree with, but for the most part, I think they did the spot on job. Bucky's entire arc during this, which is probably the only arc that I think was well written and made sense, because as much of a fan as I am of John Walker and his arc, they just suddenly made him like want to kill Sam and Bucky out of nowhere, and the entire time has been spent him trying to be friends with them because he just desperately wants to be friends with them and them to be, for them to be a team. And then he just, and like he even says it right before the fight, you know, we could have been a team, and then immediately tries to kill them both. It makes no sense, and the writing is terrible at best in that area, and I don't even know how I can even say that, terrible at best. Anyway, Bucky had the only solid arc, I think. And they did him dirty with the final title sequence, because they could have just ended it with Falcon and Winter Soldier, but they changed it from Falcon and Winter Soldier to Captain America and the Winter Soldier. Easy fix, you know, it could have taken like, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes. It's not even edited over any footage, it's just a black backdrop. It's something I could probably do, it's something probably most people could do in like Google Slides. You know, in like maybe 20 minutes, 10 minutes. You could just change it to Captain America and the White Wolf, which Bucky's whole arc has been about him getting away from being the Winter Soldier. I mean, the first time we see him, his whole thing is, my name is James Buchanan Barnes. I am no longer the Winter Soldier. Blah, blah, blah. You were part of my effort to make amends, or whatever. And then he blows up your car or something. I don't know. Anyway. And it gives you that smile, the pained smile. That thing is cooked. If you've seen the show, and you know, I'm pretty sure it's a meme at this point. But yeah, that was it was good acting. You could really feel the fact that he didn't want to be there. Anyway, Bucky had a good arc in this show, and they could, and his whole thing was that he was the White Wolf now, not the Winter Soldier, and they could have just made him Captain America and the White Wolf instead of it being Captain America and the Winter Soldier. Which, come to think of it, don't you already have something named Captain America and the Winter Soldier? You have probably my favorite Marvel movie, Captain America and the Winter Soldier, which was way better than this series. Also, there are reports that a Cap 4 movie is in development, because now they're doing it like a Thor 4, and they're doing... Apparently, there's works of Captain America 4 in development, which will probably be out in like 2025 at the rate we're going here. And then they're probably doing Iron Man 4 with like Riri Williams or something. So I don't, I don't know if I'll. Obviously I'll watch it, if only for the sake of this podcast. But oh man, I'm really. And again, you know, I said it with Falcon and Winter Soldier, before it even came out. It could either be amazing or it could be horrible. And I want to have positive reviews for these things. I really do. I did enjoy much of WandaVision. I did enjoy much of Falcon and Winter Soldier. It was funny. It had good writing up to a point. It wasn't crazy woke up to a point. But I think it was around episode 4 through 6 when it started, when the writing dropped off. I mean, the Flag Smasher's plan was always... never specified. That was always bad writing. They have no plan. Their whole thing was to like take hostages. In the final episode, they actually did have a plan. It was to take hostages so they couldn't vote on the bill, and then kill the hostages so they couldn't vote on the bill. Anyway, it was, they had a plan. It still wasn't well written. I think. I might be getting shows mixed up. I think there was supposed to be an extra episode. I think that might... No, that's actually WandaVision. WandaVision was supposed to have an extra episode. That would have been the 90s one. Anyway. Sorry. Not trying to focus on Falcon and Winter Soldier here. Falcon and the Winter Soldier... I enjoyed it up to a point. There are still scenes that I enjoy. For example, in the final episode, I was a big fan of John Walker... getting his redemption and joining the team with Sam and Bucky. And I was also a big fan of him getting his, of donning his US agent gear. Also, by the way, I just want to say something. Everyone's saying that Valentina, played by... Lisa Dreyfus, I can't remember her name either. She has like the purple hair, and she shows up to John Walker after he gets kicked out of the military because he killed a terrorist. And it sounds so satirical, but it's true. That's what the writing really is on the show. He gets kicked out of the military because he killed a terrorist. Which was really his whole mission there in the first place, why he was there, to kill the terrorists. But bad writing will be bad writing. Anyway. Everyone is saying she's Madame Hydra. That's not true. It's mostly not true. Valentina is, she's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. She works for S.H.I.E.L.D., so presumably for this, she works for S.W.O.R.D. She had one little arc where she pretended to be Madame Hydra, but she was She was an undercover SHIELD agent in that. She was just pretending to be Madame Hydra so that she could get intel for SHIELD. This is in the comics. But everyone knows her from that, apparently. And now everyone's saying that she's Madame Hydra, which is not true. Anyway. She's a SHIELD agent, so she's probably working for SWORD. Probably. I mean, there's a slight chance that they're just completely retconning the character, making her part of the new Hydra, which is not a thing that we've heard about, or maybe she's just part of the government, but it seems like she's part of SWORD. It would make the most sense due to her history as, you know, being always a SHIELD agent. And then for one tiny comic run going undercover as Madame Hydra, which she's not actually Madame Hydra. I just want to emphasize that for everyone. She isn't Madame Hydra. The cameo is not that Hydra is returning. So, you know, this show was... it was... both not what I expected and what I expected at the same time. And that sentence really means nothing at all. So I'm going to elaborate on what I mean. I enjoyed it. But I only enjoyed some parts of it. I enjoyed most of the John Walker bits. I enjoyed... I'd say all of the Bucky bits. Those were hilarious. They kept some of Sam's, like, quips and personality, but, like, really just his jokes, and I think that was less about writing and more about Anthony Mackie just knowing how to play the character. In writing, it's a completely different character, but Anthony Mackie, he knows Falcon. He knows what that character's like, so he played the character closer, as close as he could with the writing given. And again, I think a lot of the blame for, most of the bad things on this, it goes to bad writing. The performances by everyone were top-notch. Top-notch performances by everyone. Round of applause, for everyone who was in there, who was in the show. None of it was the actors. None of it. It was all writing. All my problems with the series was all writing. And the dude who played, Isaiah Bradley, he did a great job. He was super great. And he really conveyed it like it was real emotions. It was genuinely amazing acting. It might have been, you know, hey, look at us, we're woke, but it was good acting. I might not have agreed with the reasons why they did it or how they did it, or how they changed it from something that was beautiful into something that was, you know, a cash grab. So people who were liberal and woke will approve and they can appeal to a larger audience. Also pandering more to Hollywood, because Hollywood and Disney are tremendously liberal and woke. Again, the problems were with the writing. The acting was great. Let's focus on the plot, what each character's arc and goals were. Cap, Sam originally started out as not wanting to take on the Cap mantle. He, throughout the series, learned that he is needed. They need a leader, and that they need a Captain America. Here's where I disagree. I don't think they need a Captain America. What I do think they do need a leader. Yes, it doesn't necessarily have to be Captain America. It could be, you know, whatever alter ego you want to give yourself, but and you could still honor, you know, the title of Captain America and still honor the legacy. Or, I mean, he could take up the mantle, which is what they ended up going with him. So Sam takes up the mantle eventually and then tells some politicians to do better, doesn't tell them how to do better, doesn't give them any solutions, just tells them that he doesn't like what they're doing and then flies off and goes to a barbecue. So that's his arc. Oh, and he's also trying to fix a boat and get a bank loan. Let's see. What else? What else? Bucky. His arc is he is trying to make amends for the horrifying things he was forced to do as the Winter Soldier. And at the beginning, and he has a friendship with Yuri, whose son he killed. And at the end, we get the final conclusion that we've been building up to all season, which finally tells Yuri, and he tells Yuri, and we just cut away from that, because that's not anything that anyone wanted to see. We didn't want to see Yuri's reaction or what happened. We didn't want to see that, you know. That wasn't something that any of us were tremendously excited about or anticipating or, you know, waiting weeks for. No. Let's just cut away from that. Which is literally what they did. Just cut that emotional moment off before it could even really start. So, his whole arc was that he was making amends, and he was, becoming the White Wolf instead of becoming, clearing his record and, overcoming being the Winter Soldier. And I enjoyed it. I think they did a good job with it, except for the fact, you know, at the end they cut away from the emotional moment that his whole arc had been building up to. But again, that's just bad writing, bad editing, and it was just badly written. The actor's portrayals were wonderful. Let's see. Sharon Carter's arc. She was there in a couple scenes. And she goes from being, you know, the true blue American, American woman fighting in the CIA, fighting alongside Cap, strong, I don't know, just a good guy, to becoming an arms dealer practically overnight, apparently, because she snapped. She was a victim of the snap, so it wasn't like she had a couple years to become an arms dealer, and even if she did, that would be pretty difficult to pull off. But apparently she became an arms dealer in a couple months, and the U.S., and because the U.S. kicked her out because she helped Captain America, is essentially, her reason for her becoming evil. And then they invite her back in, and, you know, instead of her becoming, getting her redemption, she decides to be a double agent for her own organization, and is going to steal a bunch of, military stuff from the U.S. government to sell to the highest bidder, because that's who she is now, because the writer thought that would be a fun idea. I liked Sharon's character before. I was a fan of her. I thought she was awesome. Agent 13. She sucks now. To put it bluntly, her character sucks. That's probably going to lead to, like, Armor Wars or something. I think that's supposed to be a tie-in for Armor Wars with Rhodey. Which, I mean, let's hope that doesn't fall into the trope, too. Although, to be honest, it probably will. Let's hope the writing is the important part for these shows. They have great visuals. They have great acting. They need good writers. That's what they've been lacking so far. And Loki has Rick and Morty writers. I don't know the exact names of the writers, but I know some of them were working on Rick and Morty. And I've seen the trailers. It looks amazing. It looks so, so good. It looks 1,000 times better than Falcon and the Winter Soldier or WandaVision did in those trailers, and both of their trailers were pretty good. I wasn't the biggest fan of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier trailers, but that was the one I was really excited for out of all of the shows, And now it looks like I'm going to be the most excited for Loki, which I never would have expected that, to be perfectly honest. Here's hoping we don't get our hopes up with Loki just to get them dashed. Let's see, Baron Zemo. We haven't really touched on him, and he was in the series a little bit. They broke him out of prison because he knew where to find Carly Morgenthau, or he was going to help them find Carly Morgenthau, or he knew how to think like Carly Morgenthau. It isn't super clear. So they break him out of prison. They take him to. Oh boy, I'm blanking. Madripoor. I was thinking Singapore. I'm like, no, that's not right. Madripoor. So they take him to Madripoor. And we get all of our John Wick vibes. And honestly, I really like that episode. I think it was well written. I enjoyed it. I'm also a big fan of the John Wick films, and I'm pretty sure that episode was directed by the same guy who did John Wick, so it would explain why I'm such a big fan of it. Zemo's plan is that he wants to eradicate all super soldiers, so that's why he wants to kill the Flag Smashers. And he wants to kill Carly Morgenthau. And he gets his nice purple mask, and he really doesn't do anything with it except and as Screen Rant in his pitch meeting. I know I'm saying this over and over again, but we touch on a lot of the same things. Wears it because it looked cool in the trailers and at the Marvel announcement when they announced Falcon the Winter Soldier, and they showed us Zemo with his purple mask. Everyone freaked out, and it was a massive letdown because Zemo went from this one guy who, and like it destroys the whole Civil War thing, because he went from this one guy who was like he was in the military, barely did anything, barely had any money. He was just this one guy with his family, not a lot of money, just pure willpower and patience. And I think one of his quotes is something like that: "A man can do anything if he has enough patience and willpower," or something like that. And he was a really cool character, and I loved what they did with him. And then in this series, they made him a baron because they needed a plane for Sam and Bucky to fly around on. So. Because they needed a plane for Sam and Bucky to fly around on, couldn't think of a better, better reason for them to be able to get a plane. They completely ruined the Civil War, the entire character of Baron Zemo, first, so they could have a plane to fly on. Yeah, not a fan of that. They completely changed the Baron Zemo character. He's much snarkier. He dances now. He was a really cool and like grim and dark character, and now he's just kind of like meh. He's not really anything important or exciting anymore. To be perfectly honest, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the future of the MCU here. Don't know what I'm super excited for. I'm excited for Thor 4. Christian Bale's gonna be in it. He's gonna be Gore the God Butcher. Jane Foster's coming back. I'm super excited for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and Spider-Man 3, No Way Home. And that's really about it. We got the Fantastic Four 2, which it's not Fantastic Four 2. I'm also excited for the Fantastic Four. Again, Fantastic Four could be really great or could be really bad. We don't know. So I'm excited for Thor 4, Spider-Man 3, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and maybe Fantastic Four. That's about it right now. I'm not really excited for any other upcoming Marvel projects. I mean, we've got Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings, which I know it's got the Ten Rings in it. We've got Shang-Chi. It looks I don't know, it doesn't really look like a Marvel movie, to be perfectly honest. It looks cool, I'll give you that. It looks really cool. It looks like a cool story, but it just doesn't feel like Marvel. Neither does the Eternals, which they've been getting plenty of flack about the trailer. We have stood by and watched as Thanos destroyed half the universe. We have guided and protected as Thanos destroyed half the universe, and we did absolutely nothing. Anyway, I'm not really excited for any upcoming Marvel projects except, you know, the ones I keep mentioning, and they are coming for a while yet. And I know I'm a huge Marvel fan, but to be honest, I'm more excited for stuff DC has coming. And that's saying something, because the DCEU is a mess. It is a complete mess. I'm not really a fan of any of their movies. To be perfectly honest, I'm not a fan of any of them. And if you are, that's great. What I'm excited for is I'm excited for Matt Reeves as the Batman. That's it. That's it for DC. That's all I'm really excited for. I'm also enjoying their Superman and Lois series. That's good. I like that. Me likey. Other than that, I'm not really a big fan of DC. I'm not gonna lie. They're also going woke, too. I'm not gonna do that. They're also going woke. They fired Henry Cavill on his birthday. Henry Cavill is probably the perfect Superman, in my opinion. Again, I'm not a fan of their movies, but he's probably the best Superman, in my opinion. Anyway, this isn't about DC. I'm not a DC fan. Although I probably will cover the Batman when it comes out. If it ever comes out. Anyway, the future of the MCU, it's still bright. Just because I'm not as excited for it, and I'm not as excited for the things that are to come, doesn't mean I won't be excited, and doesn't mean I can't be excited. I'm not excited for them right now, but I may be in the future. There's still hope for Marvel, and there's still hope, there's still light at the end of the tunnel. Thanks for listening to my series on Falcon the Winter Soldier. This was episodes 4-6, season finale. Thanks for tuning in to Muse Live. And I'll see you next time.